Anetanita here, and welcome back to another episode of A Course in Miracles with Anetanita. Today, we're on What is the Last Judgment, and we're on Lesson 317. I will be starting us off. What is the Last Judgment? Christ's second coming gives the Son of God the gift to hear the voice for God proclaim that what is false is false, and what is true has never changed. And this the judgment is, in which perception ends. At first you see a world which has accepted this as true, projected from a now corrected mind. And with this holy sight, perception gives a silent blessing and then disappears, its goal accomplished and its mission done.
The final judgment on the world contains no condemnation, for it sees the world as totally forgiven, without sin, and wholly purposeless. Without a cause, and now without a function in Christ's sight, it merely slips away to nothingness. There it was born, and there it ends as well. And all the figures in the dream in which the world began go with it. Bodies now are useless, and will therefore fade away, because the Son of God is limitless.
You who believe that God's last judgment will condemn the world to hell along with you, accept this holy truth. God's judgment is the gift of the correction he bestowed on all your errors, freeing you from them and all effects they ever seem to have. To fear God's saving grace is but to fear complete release from suffering, return to peace, security, and happiness, and union with your own identity.
God's final judgment is as merciful as every step in his appointed plan to bless his Son and call him to return to the eternal peace he shares with him. Be not afraid of love, for it alone can heal all sorrow, wipe away all tears, and gently waken from his dreams of pain the Son whom God acknowledges as his. Be not afraid of this. Salvation asks you give it welcome, and the world awaits your glad acceptance, which will set it free.
This is God's final judgment. You are still my holy Son, forever innocent, forever loving, and forever loved, as limitless as your Creator, and completely changeless and forever pure. Therefore, awaken and return to me. I am your Father, and you are my Son. What is the last judgment?
And our lesson for today, lesson 317, I follow in the way appointed me. I have a special place to fill, a role for me alone. Salvation waits until I take this part as what I choose to do. Until I make this choice, I am the slave of time and human destiny. But when I willingly and gladly go the way my Father's plan appointed me to go, then will I recognize salvation is already here, already given all my brothers, and already mine as well.
Father, your way is what I choose today. Where it would lead me, do I choose to go? What it would have me do, I choose to do. Your way is certain and the end secure. The memory of you awaits me there, and all my sorrows end in your embrace, which you have promised to your Son, who thought mistakenly that he had wandered from the sure protection of your loving arms. Lesson 317, I follow in the way appointed me. I love that last paragraph.
I love that whole lesson. Should we just read the whole lesson one more time? When we are feeling alone and like maybe kind of really even insignificant in that, like maybe God has forgotten us, you know, like I follow in the way appointed me. I have a special place to fill, a role for me alone. Salvation waits until I take this part as what I choose to do. So that whole thing that we were talking about a number of days ago where, you know, in AA, the whole thing is about a complete transformation of self. And so until I'm willing to have this complete transformation of self, I am the slave of time and human destiny. But when I willingly, like we have to get to this point ourselves, but when I willingly and gladly go the way my Father's plan appointed me to go, then will I recognize salvation is already here. I've never left home. Already given all my brothers. None of us have left home. And already mine as well. So do you want to read the prayer again?
Sure. Father, your way is what I choose today. Where it would lead me, do I choose to go. What it would have me do, I choose to do. Your way is certain and the end secure. The memory of you awaits me there, and all my sorrows end in your embrace, which you have promised to your son, who thought mistakenly that he had wandered from the sure protection of your loving arms. Mm-hmm. Such a sweet lesson, and I love the last paragraph of What is the Last Judgment?
Oh, the last paragraph of What is the Last Judgment?
Yes. This is God's final judgment. You are still my holy son, forever innocent, forever loving, and forever loved, as limitless as your creator, and completely changeless and forever pure. Therefore, awaken and return to me. I am your father, and you are my son.
And all we have to do to return to love is to choose love and allow fear to go. Mm-hmm. And it sounds, I'm making that sound really simple, but yet that really is what it is.
Yeah, it's such a simple concept, but our experience of it is much more complex. Just like in the manual for teachers, oh yeah, you can choose this in an instant, but most probably won't.
Right. And I think it's just because we have all these attachments. You know, you will weep every time an idol falls, is what the Course says.
Yeah, if we weren't attached to them, we wouldn't be weeping.
No, but we have all these idols, and those can look like, you know, personal aspirations that we have for ourselves. They can look like relationships. It can look like all myriad of things. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, you are still my holy son, forever innocent, forever loving, and forever loved. As limitless as your creator and completely changeless and forever pure. Now, this part here, completely changeless, we have this idea in the ego thought system that it's that whatever we have done or what we believe has been done to us can change us in ways that we can't recover from, I guess, would be a way to say it. And what he's saying here is there's nothing that you can do or that can happen to you that can change who you truly are.
So do you think that, so there's the happenings of the world that we think can permanently change us. Is it your perspective that while that doesn't change who I really am, the content that I really am as God created me, you know, forever innocent, forever loving, forever loved, as limitless as your creator, but could the happenings of the world change our bodies and make it difficult to see all that?
Well, I'm not sure I'm understanding your question, because I would say, well, of course. Mm-hmm. But what do you, can you tell me more what you mean? Because I don't really understand what you're saying.
Well, what I'm saying, my question to you is, I would love your perspective on this, is that, so we can have, you know, what A Course in Miracles talks about. Oh, yes, you know, nothing can change how God created you. I'm not a body, I am free, for I still as God created me. I'm forever as God created me. All of that good stuff, they just kind of can sink in and say, oh, isn't that lovely? Mm-hmm. And then we have this egoic world, this egoic life, and it seems that those happenings in the ego world can, while they may not change our essence, they can really affect how we see ourselves.
So what you're saying is, like, I could have events that occur in my life that are very traumatizing, and then that trauma, unless I'm able to find healing and recovery from the trauma, then the trauma really does change my perspective on life.
Yeah, and it changes our perception of ourselves, but it doesn't really change our essence. Like, kind of like the two levels of A Course in Miracles. Mm-hmm. Like, on the physical level, it can really seem like it changed us. Mm-hmm. But underneath that, at the eternal level, the spiritual level, it doesn't change our spirit.
So there's this interesting, and I'm just really becoming familiar with it. I am not trained in it. I really have only read one book, and I haven't even finished the whole book. But there's this guy.
You've read half a book.
I've read three quarters of a book and watched some YouTubes about it. So, and some of you out there may know about it. It's called Internal Family Systems. And it's a way to heal from trauma by understanding this methodology of recognizing that when we've gone through trauma, we can react in ways where it's almost like teaching that we all have multiple personalities, but there's this part of us that kind of comes up and is then like the protector of us. And then we have this maybe harsher veneer that's there. And it's just really there because we have been hurt so much that this protector can show up. And it's too much to go into just in a podcast. But what I love about it is that this man Richard Schwartz, who has been practicing this and teaching this for over 40 years, that he's recognized experientially when he works with himself and others, that there is a part of us that nothing can change. And he has seen that in his work. And so this is a long way of me as answering your question, is I think temporarily, if we've been very traumatized, we can see ourselves differently, or we can have different parts of us that break off, and you know, there we experience life from our trauma, but yet there is something that is deeper in all of us that cannot be touched by the trauma of the human experience. And they're finding, so that's one example of them finding it in the experience of their research when they deal with, you know, and he's dealt with a lot of people through all these 40 years, right? And so I think, yes, our experience can change, but there is this eternal essence that nothing can change. And remember, the Course always says, you cannot fail in this, right? So this is remembering who you are, the remembering process. So what that says to me, that no matter what trauma we have experienced, no matter, you know, just think of all the folks now that are experiencing the war in Ukraine, right? The trauma of living through something like that. Well, that's going to change their experience of life probably and forever in this life. However, there's a part of them that can never be changed. And, you know, science is figuring that out.
Thank you for that. Cause I know I can be a bit of a black and white thinker. And so I'm trying more and more to be not so black and white thinking. Mm-hmm. And so part of that process or experience is I'm also wanting to take even what I learn in A Course in Miracles and not make it kind of like a pie in the sky, black and white, and just say, well, there's something in us that can never change. Well, like, not only what does that mean, but also how does that become applicable to our daily experience of life?
Well, yeah. So did that help? Did my answer help?
It does, because then, because there's one thing to say, like, okay, we have this spiritual experience through A Course in Miracles, and there are times where it's like, okay, well, the spiritual does have application in the world, but then it also can be like, oh, this my spiritual side or my spiritual life only lightly blends into the rest of everything.
So you kind of have like this box that you put your spiritual life in, and then you have all your other parts.
Yeah. And then it's like, okay, well, I do, like, I bring God into everything. Like, we have a client and I pray beforehand. I'm like, okay, basically it's a different version of what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say to whom? Mm-hmm. I know what I'm doing. I know where I am. So it's what do you want me to say to whom right now? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, well, I'll bring that in. But then it's like, oh, just driving in the car, you know, you might say prayer, help me get to the destination. But other than that, all those automatic actions of brake, gas, turn left, turn right, they seem like they can be so distant from this, even this, our spiritual life. Because it's like, oh, now we're driving a car, cleaning. Oh, now it's like, okay, I get out the soap, I get out the water, get out the vacuum. That doesn't seem like the space where it's as easy to see how God enters into that.
Well, I think that's what Osho was talking about when he said, make your life a meditation.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
Right? Because I remember when I heard him say that, I thought, well, now how would that work? But now through the year, I mean, probably heard that a decade or so ago. And understanding that when we go into, you know, if we have a little morning meditation practice, that it can just be a few breaths, but you're inviting love into your day, like the decisions for the day, right? You're inviting love in, just like it says, you know, in our lesson just the other day, lesson 313, and love will come wherever it is asked. So that to me says, well, we don't want to have a spiritual box and a life box and a work box and a, you know, really what we want to do is we want to invite love in to who we are, into our being. And as we go about our day, love goes with me wherever I go, right? Mm-hmm. And I find that quite helpful.
For me, it's really being conscious, because as I'm sitting here listening to what you're sharing, I'm also recognizing that even in the world, truly inviting love into the moment is not the norm. Because there's so much where we just like kind of just do whatever we want and then we just go on. And there's really, we haven't made much of a place for love or the divine.
So we live in Colorado and we happen to be football fans. And I've really enjoyed watching Russell Wilson. You know, I'm assuming he's Christian. I don't know what he is, but he always says God first. So when they've had, like, at the end of the games, you know, like, you can watch him and he's praying with some of his fellow players from both teams. Like, it's not like just Broncos praying. It's, you know, team people from other teams. And, you know, when, full disclosure, like, years ago when I would watch people do that, I would say, like, why are they making a show of that? You know, like, I could say, like, my ego got in the way. But now when I look at it, I think to myself, yeah, you know, like, that's really a wonderful demonstration of God first. And what I would like to say is it's like a wonderful representation of love first, because the people that are praying together, one team lost and one team won. So it's really love first. It's not, thank God we won. It's not a thank God we won prayer. It's a love first prayer. And I think it's important to include, you know, parts, you know, even experiences like that and actions like that so that we remind ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Make that conscious choice throughout the day.
Yeah. Love first.
Yeah.
So have a wonderful day practicing lesson 317. I follow in the way appointed me. See you tomorrow.
See you then.